Welcome back to episode 177 of Tall Boy Radio. And as we always say, who knows where it goes when the beer flows. Now, tonight we have an interesting episode for you. We did an episode a while ago and we talked about Lego. And tonight we're talking very specifically about AFOL or APOL, however you pronounce it, for adult fans of Lego. So before we get to our guest, let's say hello to the host who's joining us tonight. Gazza?
Yeah, evening all, evening the world. Looking forward to this. When you talk about Lego, it takes you back to your childhood, always talking about sort of reminiscing and that sort of stuff. As Adam said, who knows where this goes when the beer flows. Looking forward to a few left turns along the way, and we'll see where we end up.
Indeed, indeed. Now, we're joined by a guy who is a creator, not just of Lego models, but of videos on YouTube. So, Cyril, did you want to say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Hi, I'm Cyril, living in the United States. Huge fan of Lego. Never have enough time or the money to really fulfill my Lego dreams. But I collect, and as you said, I have a channel, Ifol Cyril, on YouTube, and I just build and review and essentially share the interests with anyone who's willing to watch.
Yeah, and it's a pretty big community of people, especially, like, say, the Ifol or Afol. Is it Afol or Ifol? I don't know.
Oh, I guess it depends on where you're from in the world, but in the US, it's mostly AFOL.
Okay. So we'll say AFOL then for the purpose of this podcast. So yeah, it is a pretty large community. And actually now, I think what we're seeing probably more than ever is Lego are targeting sets for adult builders, aren't they?
Yes, they discovered the adults have the money and not the kids, so they went after them. And like a group of lemmings, we fell for it.
Absolutely. Because I tell you what, it ain't cheap, is it? It's not a cheap hobby, this one.
Oh, no, it's not. Man, it's... And especially when sets retire, because every Lego set is essentially collectible. So they're on the shelves for about 3-4 years, and then they disappear. And then the price starts rising at that point, and it gets expensive. I'm lucky to have a wife who's very accommodating, and her rule is, as long as I don't find Lego pieces or sets all over the house, and you're not getting us into debt, have fun.
It's a pretty accommodating wife, isn't that, Gazza?
I like the sound of that, absolutely. Are there any more going around?
Yeah. So I am limited to the basement and my home office, which is where I am now. And that's just where I can keep Lego, which is part of the reason why I have so many sets unopened.
Well, this is it, Gazza. So Gazza was a little bit late joining us tonight. So Cyril and I were chatting a little bit before we got started. Do you want to tell Gaz just how many unopened boxes of Lego you have in your house?
About 43, thereabouts.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So where do you store all of those unopened boxes of Lego?
My home office. Let's see, I have about 10 sets right to the right of me, and I have about another 15 sets in the back corner, and then the rest are in the garage.
Nice.
Indeed.
And then I have sets that I've built and had to take down because I don't have anywhere to, display them. And
that's good. Yeah, that is good. Like we were saying, we had a guy on, and his name is just completely, it's just slipped my mind, but he runs one of the Lego sites I think you are a member of, actually, on Facebook. And he said, actually, he doesn't like selling on his Lego sets. However, when he has done, he sold them on for a pretty tidy profit. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I just recently sold my Ghostbusters headquarters, the firehouse. Which, okay. Apparently, if you have a large, Lego City display, it's almost a must-have. But it was... I don't have that kind of a display. It was taking up a lot of room, and I found somebody who was very interested in it, so I was able to sell it for essentially about 100% profit.
Wow.
Yeah, I got it the week it retired. I didn't even know it was retiring. I was walking through the shop. It was there. I said, I can afford it. I grabbed it, only to find out a week later it retired.
That's good timing. That is good timing. So yeah, so the guy we had on was a guy called Phil Fenn. He's an English guy. I don't know if
Brinkies.
That's the one. That's the one. So yeah, God bless him. So we had him on, and he's like yourself, big fan of Lego. So which set was it then that really, tell us how you got into it. We were chatting a little bit before, but tell us how you got into Lego.
Oh man, 1986. My mother picked us up from school. I mean, my brother and I walking with my mother back from school, and she says, "I have a surprise for you." And we, about a 20-minute walk, we were guessing the entire time. Couldn't nail what it was. And then we go home, and she handed us Lego. I think it was a teacher's edition set number 1056. And it was only 860. I mean, back then, it was a huge box, you know. It was 850 pieces, I think. And back then, it was a big deal, you know. Yeah. So we were both completely excited. And the next day, my brother fell ill and couldn't go to school. So when I got home, he had built trucks and helicopters, and he'd done all this stuff, and it was just, and at that point we were hooked. That was the end of it. And then we always wanted toy guns. My mother wasn't entirely for any kind of guns in the house, so my brother built them out of Lego. My mother was like, "Well, now I don't have to buy toy guns."
And is your brother still into Lego?
No, although he's not. He's very much into music. So where I collect Lego, he collects music production, you know, little gizmos. So he's got an entire full recording studio in his house that he's built over time. Yeah, he's huge into Lego. And huge into music. And he is on, he's on Instagram, Gravity. So every now and then he'll post something, you know, something that he's did, a small clip of something that he's done. So that's our expensive hobbies.
Yeah, I tell you what. Yeah. Tell you what. Yeah, and we thought podcasting was expensive, Gazza.
Absolutely. So what would be the most expensive set that you have sort of in your collection then? What's your sort of the top one that you have?
The most expensive set in my collection, I think until recently, was the Ghostbusters firehouse, which I got rid of. But I recently acquired the 10,000 piece Eiffel Tower.
Oh wow!
And I got really lucky, because I try the best I can to only buy from, you know, either the Lego website or the Lego store and build up points. So I was building up points towards the Titanic, which I still haven't been able to get my hands on. But we visited my daughter, who works for Disney. We went to Disney World just for a few days. And while we were there, she's like, "You know, Dad, I can get you a pretty steep discount." So we went to Disney Spring, went to the Lego store, and the Titanic was not available for employee discount. Right. But the Eiffel Tower was. So between her discount, my points, I got it for about 60% off.
Wow, nice.
That's decent.
Yeah.
Nice. So what would be the holy grail of sort of Lego pieces? Would it be the Titanic one? Is that the one you've just mentioned? Is that like the holy grail that everybody is out there looking for that? Or I mean, is that something that you want? Or
I think for a lot of collectors, the holy grail is probably the Ghostbusters headquarters, which I got, you know, I just recently got rid of mine. But there are others. It really depends. I guess with Lego collecting, it's a question of which series you collect, because Lego turns out, you know. So if it's Star Wars, you're probably looking for the very first Star Destroyer that came out, or the very first, what's that thing called? Another, you know. Yeah, the Death Star.
Death Star. Yeah.
And my cousin has the original that came out, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you're a Star Wars minifigure collector, it's probably, I can't even remember his name. There was a commander in the series who was, you know, a blue you know, humanoid, and they put out one single set. Wow. Minifigure. So if you have that one minifigure, somebody will pay upwards of $2,000 for it.
Wow.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Just going back to what you're saying there. So the Lego Eiffel Tower, guys, if you were to pick that up in the UK, that's going to set you back around about £560.
What?
Yeah, so to get 60% discount off that, dude, that's pretty good.
Wow. I mean, it's strange because my missus shouted at me a while ago. We sort of moved house and she said, "Oh, where's all the Lego gone?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't remember seeing it." She said, "Yeah, I bet you've thrown it out." I was like, "I haven't, I promise." And apparently, if you listen to my good wife, I got rid of, I'll say hundreds, but she was saying close to maybe sort of £1,000 worth of Lego that I just was like, "Oh, it must have been in like a box or a tub or something." I've just basically, we're moving house. I'm like, "Yeah, we don't need that." Sort of get rid of it. And then she said, "Oh, where's all the Lego gone?" I'm like, "I don't know."
It's
not me.
It's amazing what people are willing to get rid of, not knowing, you know. And okay, if it's all the pieces together in a large bin, then it doesn't look like anything, you know, worth it. But
absolutely. You can back me up there. It was just a big tub of Lego, and I just thought, just get rid of that. That's fine.
Yeah, but if you have the instruction manual, if you're lucky enough to have kept the box, or you know, even if you're able to put the sets together, then you know the value increases. It's not just random pieces; it's actual sets, and people will, you know, pay good money for that.
Yeah, actually, one of our good friends is huge into Star Wars, and he collected this sort of minifigures, and he said what he would do is he would sort of travel around car boot sales, and you know, there'd be people sort of saying, "Oh, you know, give me a £5, give me a fiver for the box, you can have the whole lot." And he would go in there and he would have, like, you know, he would see, you know, an original figure in the packaging with the weapon. And he's like, that in itself is worth 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 quid. And like this person is sort of saying, "Oh, I just take the lot for a fiver." And as you said, I suppose if you don't really know what you're getting rid of, then you don't know what you've got, thing. And he would travel around and buy loads of stuff.
Yeah. And it's, I think it's been made so popular to the point where in the US, there was a time when you could walk into a thrift store and find among all the used goods that they're selling, you'll find Lego sets.
Yeah.
Now the thrift stores isolate the Lego sets and actually sell them online.
Right.
Well, it's funny you say that. So where we are, we have like a charity shop right in the center of Wall Sage, and I walk past it like a lot of the time in a parking car, nipping to buy some beer. And I went past and they had a Lego set in the window. And I was like, okay, fair enough. And it was like a little one. It was Gandalf and Frodo and just them being pulled by the horse on the cart. It was like £10. I thought, it's a bit cheeky. And it is a charity shop here. So I went, but they Googled it and they knew what it was worth.
Yeah,
and said, "Look, I went on eBay and they were going for like £100. I was like, I'm still going to build it and play with it.
So basically you bought it, is that what you're saying?
I did, yeah.
It's strange because one of the things that, and I say it goes back, I don't know how long ago it was, but Adam bought this set of Lego and then proceeded to build basically a lap dancing bar with some random like Lego figure, like half suspended on this like pole dancing thing or whatever. And it's like, "Beans, is that what you do in your spare time?" He's like, "Yeah, pretty much. You just mess about with Lego. It's pretty cool."
Looked good though, didn't it?
It looked absolutely amazing. I don't know how many sets, how many sets were took to sort of make that mashup of all different Lego sets. But no, dude, it was good.
Yeah, I really admire people who are able to just create, right? Like great artists whose medium is Lego.
Yeah.
The most creative I get with Lego, because I build the sets, I collect the sets, I love the sets. But when it comes to doing what the Lego community called mocks, my own creations, my Winter Village is probably it. And for that, I'll design the background, maybe a mountain, the train, you know, and then lay out the train, the railroad, and then That's it. Place everything else. Place
so, so is that something then that you have lots of different Lego sets and the sort of the creative juices start flowing? You think, well, actually, I could sort of almost have a mashup, and I can use that from that set and that from that set, and then I can build my own creation? Or is there a specific and excuse my ignorance, is there, when you talk about your mocks, is that something that lots of people go for, and do they post them? Do you look at them and go, oh my god, that's incredible?
People do amazing things. Like, there's a website called Rebrickable, and what these creative sorts do, they'll take a set that's been released, right, and then they'll take just the pieces in that set and say, with this set you can also build this.
It's specific sets for specific,
but as also mentioned, they can take several different sets, mash them up together, get, you know, something completely different out of it. And there are, you know, Lego clubs all over the place. I belong to one in where I live in Connecticut, in the US. Our group is ConLug. I've never been to a meeting, but I subscribe to their newsletter. I pay my dues every year, and I've only never been to a meeting because time.
Yeah.
But every Christmas they do an exhibition. There's a Christmas tree exhibition at at a museum in Hartford, and they're invited to take part in it. And they have this entire winter scene, you know, and it's got the ski lifts and the skiers and, you know, snowboarding, and it's got the village and the train station and the airport. And each member of ConLog does, you know, creates their own little bit of it, and then they bring it all together. And it's beautiful. And sometimes, they'll add a set that's been released, and it's just that set that makes part of the scenery. But most of the time, it's just pieces that they've put together, their own individual
creations. And that's really impressive. And you mentioned a minute ago, it's that creative element of having something that, I suppose, that the manufacturers, the makers, Lego sort of said, oh, well, you need to build it in this way. But then having that creative juice that goes, well, actually, I'll use all these pieces and I can create this. And I suppose the Lego clubs, you know, and I don't know, they would take lots of their exhibits, I suppose, or their sets, and they go, right, let's see what we can create. And then they literally, like, the artistic juices flow, and all of a sudden you go, after an hour, a couple of hours, you think, ooh, this, you know, wow, look at that, this is what I've done. And everybody celebrates that, and then goes and retweets it and reposts it, and I suppose that's how the community grows.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's just exactly how it happens. But more recently, you're finding artists who are actually using Lego as a medium. The famous Chinese activist and artist Ai Weiwei recently did an entire Lego set exhibition. There is a, goodness, I can't remember his name. There's a Ghanaian-born British artist who does Afrofuturism, and his medium is mostly black Lego pieces, and he builds cities out of it. It's just an amazingly beautiful thing. And I wish I could remember his name, given that he's from my native country. But he is one person that I wish I could get into an interview with, and really talk to him, pick his brain on how he got started. Because some of his creations are just like, how did you even think that up? It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it is impressive. And like you say, some of the stuff that people can build out of Lego now, it is art. It is absolutely art, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you obviously have Lego Masters USA over there as well. Have you ever been attempted to apply for that?
Oh, I think there's been, three seasons now, and each season I've received an email from someone who's like, hey, I am casting for Lego Masters. And I'm like, I'm not creative enough. I mean, I love the toy. I love the brand. I love the company. But it's, I'm just, my brother's the artist, you know, my brother is like this, the only, my brother will pick up an instrument and just play it. Just, I don't know, this gift that he has, he'll just pick up an instrument. The only instrument he's not been able to do that with is the guitar, which is why I started learning to play the guitar.
That's it. Everybody loves that, that's fine.
Yeah, but he sculpts, he does pencil work, he does watercolors, he does, you know, he does music production, he's an artist through and through, you know. And once we got our first Lego set, he's the one who fell sick and stayed home the very next day to build. And by the time I got home, he had built all these things that were not even included in the instructions. He had, you know, gone beyond the instructions. I admire people like that when they get, you know, their stuff on Lego Ideas and it comes to market. I make sure I get my hands on one, like, you know, this set.
Yeah.
The Jazz Quartet, that nice. By far is one of my favorite sets. I love that, but I'm not the let's sit down and come up with something new, probably because I've never really put my mind to that. Like, let's just go buy the pieces and, you know, come up with something new, except for the Winter Village. And even the Winter Village is just, I learned how to build a mountain, built one large enough to put sets on. That was enough creativity for me.
What I want to know is, though, when you got home from school and you saw all of these sets being built, then did you then stay off the following day and thought, right, I'm going to, right, that's it now, I'm going to show you, and you stayed off the following day?
No, I was just silly enough to have said it out loud. You're not sick. And then, you know, my mother caught on, so neither of us could, you know, pretend to be sick the next day. it was a Thursday when he stayed home. So the next day was Friday. We both went to school, and then we had the weekend to just
Yeah. Lots
around with it. So that wasn't too bad.
The thing about Lego Masters is, okay, they do it in pairs. So if you could get your brother to go on that with you, he's got the creative side, you've got the Lego building side.
You know, I've never thought about that. Huh?
That surely that would work from what you've from the little bit of knowledge that you've just given me and Beans. Surely that would work.
Oh my goodness! I've never, you know, I will actually ask him so he can tell me no.
You see all these, I say, reality shows and this, that, and the other, and, you know, people that don't expect to do very well, they do, and all, you know, you never know. If you get him on board, then hey, who knows? He could create some sort of masterpiece, like a world of absolutely, like, to die for, and the world's your oyster.
Yeah, and I think we could certainly bring the drama, because much like very closely aged, we're only a year, a month, and a day. Oh, wow. Yes, he never lets me forget that one day. apart, so we're constantly in competition, and we can stand each other for about 4 days, so we would definitely bring the drama.
are you competitive amongst yourself? Is that something that, you know, or is it like, oh, he's done this, so I'm going to do this, or you know, are you just a bit like, well, yeah, it is what it is?
I think it's more, it's a bit of a cultural thing, where the whole respect your elders thing, it's very prevalent in the Ghanaian, and generally in the West African, or probably, you know, most native community, you respect your elders. And because he's my elder brother, he expected what he said goes. Which I challenged every chance I could get. So that's where the competition comes in, where he thinks he's right, and I'm like, no, you're wrong. So we butt heads sometimes, but I mean, generally we're very close. I go to him with problems, he comes to me with problems, but a lot of times I'll go to him, you know, he'll come to me with a problem like, have you looked at it this way? Nah, you're wrong. I'll always be the kid brother, and I'll always challenge him.
Are you taking this on board? I respect your elders and all that. You know, I'm liking this philosophy, dude. I'm a good couple of weeks older than you, dude. So, you know.
Gaz is 2 weeks older than me. And I don't let him forget that either.
Yeah, it depends which way it works. He's like, dude, you're older than me. I'm like, yeah, but I'm older and wiser. Well, that's always the case.
It definitely is not the case, I can tell you that. But I'm telling you now, dude, like, with you and your brother on there, I'm telling you, I think people will be interested in that, especially if I've got two brothers. Gaz has got one brother. We tend to bicker with our brothers as well, so there's always that little bit of an element. I think that would be entertaining.
Yeah, no, it would be interesting. Even if we got knocked out in the first round, I think it would be worth a shot.
Just to do it.
Just in the story of you two, just from what little I've known, that would work. You know, you've obviously got a backstory in terms of sort of your family and your heritage and all that. And a lot of the time, you know, on TV shows, that they look at that. I think you're definitely onto something there, Cyril. I think you need to make a phone call, and I think you need to get involved. You know,
that's it, yeah. Series 4.
And if it happens on Series 4, then you heard it first on Tall Boy Radio. You know, we were the ones. Give us a shout out in the season finale. It's fine. We're not, you know, it's okay. Well, maybe an invite to the season finale will be good, but you know, we're not picking one. It's okay.
Indeed. So the other side of your creativity, then, as well as the Lego, is the videos that you put together. So you highlighted there the jazz quartet that behind you, and I've watched your video building that. I've got to be honest, that is one of the sets that I really, really like. I've dropped a few in. Titanic is the other one, which, by the way, Gaz, goes for around about £600 in the UK. It's 9,090 pieces. Got a big birthday coming up. So Kim, that's my wife, if you're listening.
I thought you were going to say to Gaz, I've got a big birthday coming up. I said, you can fucking do one if that's happening.
You can pay for one of the funnels, Gaz. I don't know. You can pay for one of the
funnels. Well, they come in three, you know, they come in three pieces. So each host.
I'll pay for a third. It's fine. I'll pay for a third. It's okay. It's not.
You heard it here. Yeah. So you create the videos as well. Tell me about the time and the effort that goes into that.
Oh, man. Again, I try not to be too creative with the videos, only because it takes time. Usually I want to build and then move on to the next one and build. But when I'm putting together the videos, the focus is mainly on reviewing, you know, and just sharing the joy of it. Every now and then I come across something. I tend not to want to focus on, you know, critiquing so much as just simply reviewing. This is fun. But the time that goes into it. So I have actually been able, just based on watching various of my videos, I've been able to get, if I'm rushing, I can get about 800 pieces an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Depending on how complicated it is. If it's the technique set, it's far less, because technique just gets, you know, more complicated. But any regular set, yeah, 800 pieces per hour, you know, in build rate is about right. With the exception of the Eiffel Tower, that was 21 hours, 10,000 pieces. So yeah, about 500 pieces there. So that the build itself, I'll usually just speed up. I don't think anybody wants to sit around watching somebody put pieces together. But the introduction is important. That's where I would usually show my excitement, or just be like, this is a set, whatever, let's build it. And then the review on the back end, that's when the excitement really comes through, because most of the time I'll look at a set and I'm like, okay, I have the set, I'm going to build it. Not really because I think it's something exciting, but I have it, I'm going to build it. And then on the back end of it, I'm completely blown away, you know, or I have this idea, this is a cool set, I want to build it, and then just realize how the work that goes into it, how, you know, how much more brilliant, you know, it is a set.
Yeah. One question I've got, Cyril, is there a set that is you found particularly tricky? Can you follow the instructions relatively easily? Is there something that you think is a little bit tricky? What was the most trickiest build that you've had? What was the one that you found most trouble with? Were there some intricate bits that you struggled, or generally did you find it relatively straightforward?
With Lego, you always have to watch out for repetition. Right. That is repetitive.
Yeah.
The Taj Mahal, because you're essentially building four sides of the same thing.
Yeah.
Or it depends on how you look at it. I think the symmetry is actually in build is just, you know, two sides. But there are, I mean, the base is quite repetitive. The towers are repetitive. It gets really repetitive. So sometimes you'll get bored and you'll have to step away. Or if you're me, you'll rush even more because you want to get it done.
Yeah.
As far as intricate builds, I built the Technic Land Rover. And the booklet, the instruction booklet was 490 pages.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You see, I'd have been done after about page 10. I'd have gone, I can't do this.
And you find a lot of people who actually get to that point and then, you know, end up, you know, letting it sit forever or giving it away. But that was because that was the very first Technic set I'd ever built.
Right.
And I like Land Rovers, despite all the problems that, you know, they've had in the past. I mean, they're like the quintessential SUV. And I just love that brand. So when they first released that one, I thought, oh my goodness, I have to have it. So I got it and I built it. And I didn't realize that the mechanism, you start building from the frame to the mechanisms, and the gearbox is actually built so that when you put, you know, when you put the gear shift in reverse, it's going to move backwards. You know, it's actually built. So you built the mechanism. And I didn't realize that's what that was involved in those Technic sets. It was my first introduction to Technic sets. And needless to say, I have a couple more and I haven't built one yet.
Well, that's a lot. That's it. That you see a lot of that feedback on there. Like, everybody loves buying the sets. Then you normally see afterwards, apart from Technics. Nobody likes Technics. And I'll be honest, I've not touched any of the Technics myself. I just thought, nah, that just looks like a bit of a faff.
I think you should. If only to, you know, the wonder of somebody sat down and thought this through.
Yeah.
And I think with most Lego sets, it just blows my mind every time. Like, somebody actually sat down and it's not like the, you know, the Lego town buildings or the modular sets of the buildings. Those, you can look at that and you can say, okay, I can see someone, okay, here's a bakery, here's that. Somebody actually, it's everyday stuff that you see. Mm-hmm. But for the Technic sets, the fact that somebody actually sat down and came up with it's still every day blows my mind. Like, it's just, I should probably take it apart and, you know, put it back in the box, but I'm like, nah, somebody put a lot of effort into that. Yeah. And so did I, and I'm just going to keep it up and it's going to collect dust.
Nice. And to be honest with you, some of the regular sets as well, I find myself building it. So this Christmas, myself and my daughter, we sat down and we built the Home Alone house. And even when you're putting the base together, obviously you've got the bit that you turn on the side, it's going to make the Michael Jordan figure rotate to make it look like, you know, for Joe Pesci, that there's actually somebody inside the house. And it makes the little record thing spin as well. I tell you what, there's a lot of thought goes into that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, it's I actually got a chance to build that. That was the centerpiece for my Winter Village this year. So I got a chance to build that. But man, you can tell the entire film just by pointing to different things. You can tell the entire story, you know. I thought that was really, really well done.
One question I've got for you is, and I know they've done, you know, they've done the Star Wars set, they've done the Harry Potter set, they've done loads of different things. What's the one franchise or the one film or the one show or whatever it may be that you think that Lego should do that maybe they haven't already? Is there something in your mind that you think, oh my god, if they released that, then I'd go out and buy it, and I don't care what it costs, I'm gonna get it, and that's it.
Star Trek. I am
really
a Star Trek fan, so I resent Lego for partnering with Star Wars and not with Star Trek.
You see, I'm a Star Wars fan. I like Star Trek, but I suppose if you stood me up against a wall and said, you've got to choose Star Wars or Star Trek, I would go Star Wars. But is there no Star Trek Lego then out there, or
none?
Wow, really?
None. And I don't know if it's a question of Lego's relationship with Disney versus Lego's relationship with Viacom and Universal.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I would love to get my hands on Star Trek.
What would be the one bit? Would it be the these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise? That's the one, isn't it? I suppose.
The Enterprise, and for me, it would be the Next Generation.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because I'm a massive Next Gen fan. I wasn't. So I'm 49. You say it a bit quiet, and so is Adam. And you know, I suppose I'm much more of a Next Gen as opposed to the original. So I'm much more of a Picard as opposed to a Kirk. Sort of.
Yeah.
That's my genre. You know, Worf and I love that and yeah, Data and all of that. That is my I do like Star Trek. And don't get me wrong, I'm a massive Star Wars fan as well. But I suppose I'm a Next Gen as opposed to an original Star Trek fan. So
yeah. I think I recently got into the original, and I can see the attraction. I can see the allure there. The stories are compelling, but it's Next Gen. Next Gen introduced more of the science of it than anything else. But I have to say, I have been following Strange New Worlds and recently started the series with Captain Pike. I can't remember what it's called, but I'm following all that, and they are doing some amazing work there.
I do think, like you say, the deck of the Enterprise, Picard's Enterprise,
that would be a great set. I'm not a fan of the Star Wars dioramas that they put out. I mean, as far as Star Wars goes, I like the helmets, and I'm determined to collect all the helmets, although I let the Boba Fett helmet retire now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to pay the stupid
nice.
It's the Darth Vader one there. I don't know if you can see it.
I just picked this up.
Nice.
Oh.
I got this just so I can get this.
Yeah, so that was that. I thought when he picked that up earlier, that was that was a free gift and a free repurchase.
Those are the only Star Wars things, and the very first Darth Vader anything I've ever owned, pajamas, lunchbox, whatever. I never had any Star Wars items. The very first Darth Vader thing I owned was the Darth Vader helmet, the Lego set.
I suppose it sounds a little silly from what you've just been saying. I mean, are they collectible? Is there a big market for them? Are certain sets going for, you know, ridiculous amounts of money? Are there certain sets out there that there's only ever been 1 or 10 or 100 ever made? And, you know, is there a big market for that?
Yeah, there's quite a market for it, and there's an increasing market. I mean, every single day you open up one of the Lego pages on YouTube, and on Facebook, and you're likely to find somebody who says, "This is my first Lego set," you know. Wow.
Yeah.
Then everyone says, "Oh, welcome to the addiction."
That's going to cost you X thousands of pounds over the years.
There's a huge market for those people who are just. They're adults now, they have the disposable income, they're just getting into it. They come across, you know, one of the Lego series and they want everything. So there's always somebody willing to pick up an older set.
There is one that's out there. There's one set that's out there that's rumored to be out there anyway. And I don't know if you've heard this story or not. So in terms of Lego architecture, one of the things that they did, Kaz, so they did a series of like Lego Skyline. So like in terms of like New York, you can build the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, all that. And it's just a little diorama that you have. And I've got a few of them and they're great. One of my favorite cities that I've ever visited is Las Vegas. And obviously I have the Las Vegas one.
Yeah.
However,
those.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So the first one, allegedly, when they sent it out to the various people who were lucky enough to receive it to test it. Mm-hmm. So the one that I have, it has the Bellagio and then the Luxor. So obviously those two are in the wrong order. And the reason for that is the Bellagio was not supposed to be on it originally. It was supposed to be Mandalay Bay. And obviously there was a shooting at Mandalay Bay. Yeah.
Right.
But there are sets out there that when they sent them out to be tested that have Mandalay Bay on there.
It wasn't just the testing. It hit the market.
Oh, really?
It hit the market, and within a week, there was the shooting, so they pulled everything back. So a few people were able to get their hands on it. And now, if you have one with a Mandalay Bay mint in the box, it's worth, you know,
What is it worth?
Because it's no longer available.
So give me a number. What would that be worth? Are you talking thousands of dollars or?
I haven't checked it. There's a website called Brick Economy, and Brick Economy actually gives you the current going price of, you know, what the retail price is versus what the market price is.
Yeah.
And I haven't checked in a bit, but it's. I think the last time I checked, it was into the high hundreds. So right. By now, I expect it'll be
thousands. Thousands. Yeah.
Yeah, and really? Then they had the Osprey that was the Technic set, the Osprey that was released, and somebody complained that this is an implement of war and blah blah blah, and Lego's very contentious about that, so they pulled it off the market. And through the rumor mill, I heard that they're bringing it back to market or whatever. But for those who were able to get their hands on one before they pulled it back, now that's gone through the roof because you know you could say there's a limited set that's out there and available.
That's crazy, isn't it? That's crazy. Were you thinking about the Las Vegas one, Gas, for my birthday? Is that what you're thinking, yeah?
I'm a third of it, maybe, yeah. As long as it's not the one with the Mandalay Bay written on it, that's fine.
I've got the other one.
well, okay, I'll buy you, like, I don't know, some sort of weird sideshow to it or something, I don't know.
But if you really mean to, you can actually get out there and collect the pieces and... you know, add a Mandalay Bay. That's the cool thing about Lego. You can always collect pieces. I missed out on Frank Lloyd Wright's Robie House. And I said, let's go on a hunt. So I just hunted, you know, the pieces and put that together and really enjoyed the process of looking for the pieces to put together. It was really cool.
So do you sort of, travel around and do you look for car boot sales, or I'm not sure what you call them over in the States, but do you travel around and look for your basement stuff, or do you just basically just buy your stuff from the website?
The only times I've done that is when I'm looking for something very specific.
Right.
Like I said, trying to put together the Robie House, that was a hunt. I visited several different thrift stores. I sourced pieces from different places. When I'm getting ready to put together the Christmas build, and usually I start right around midsummer, I start putting together an idea of what I'm looking for. And this year, you heard it here first, I think there are going to be two castles, because I believe there's another Disney castle coming out, and I have the original Disney castle.
Okay.
The second, I might have dueling castles.
nice.
Which means the mountain and the tunnel, the train tunnel that I build usually, now has to get bigger. So I'm looking for Burps, big ugly rock pieces. So I can, it makes it easier because I think it sits about, it's a tier, it's a piece that actually is the height of six, you know, regular bricks.
Right.
So with that big ugly piece together, you know, multiples together, you can actually build a wall or a mountain very fast. You can create a mountain that is very rough, you know, in the face, but I like my mountains to be a little smoother. So I like the roofing tile pieces, the long roofing tile pieces. So that's right. So starting in midsummer, I'll go to my regular Lego resale shop. My favorite, you know, and I'm going to throw them a shout out. It's Bricks and Minifigs, and it's in Southington, Connecticut. And that's where I go. And I look in their big, giant, you know, tables and sift through to find those specific tiles to build the mountain face. So it's a long process, several months. And then sometime in October, I'll start actually putting it together, gradually taking apart, put it together, take it apart, you know. And then by Thanksgiving, I always shoot for... you know, I'm going to be hosting Thanksgiving. I want the Christmas village up by Thanksgiving. Never make it, you know, sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know.
You see, what would be quite cool, and I don't know whether it happens, is almost sort of Lego release a piece, or and I suppose you go down that sort of that golden Easter egg sort of genre in terms of, yeah, would they release a piece that everybody is after, or a set that everybody is after? And then it always becomes a little bit of a sort of a treasure hunt, and you've got all of your Lego hunters out there. Do you know what I mean? And I love that sort of jeopardy of trying to solve the clues to get to the piece. And then all of a sudden, if you manage to get it, then great. You know, you've got that one piece that makes the set or whatever. You know, that would be so cool.
Yeah, they haven't quite done that. And I think they have inadvertently done that. There is one minifigure, Mr. Gold.
Right.
And nobody can find it. It's a fully gold piece, and they did it for one of their major anniversaries. And there was a limited set that they put on the market. And now it's one of the coveted pieces, and no one can find it.
No one knows where it is.
I'm keeping it, you know.
Yeah. So you've got it wrapped up in your in your attic, in your whatever, basement, whatever, yeah, maybe. And you're like, I'm keeping it. That's it.
If you have it, put it in a safe. Don't ever tell anybody you have it. But the Lego Ideas Saturn V, that became a set like that. I mean, now it just recently retired, so you can find, you know, you can find it all over the place. But when it first came out, it was such a hot set.
Yeah.
It took me about a year to finally get my hands on it. Because the first production run went within 2 weeks. It was done. If you didn't get to the shop to get your hands on it, it was done. And then they did a second run, and then they did a third run. And I think it was on the third run that I finally got my hands on the set. But even then, I had to reach out to a friend who had a cousin or brother-in-law who worked at Lego. And I was like, could you please secure one for me? And that's how I ended up getting mine. Because every time it hit the shelves, it was gone. I would call early Saturday morning. Do you have it? Oh, man, we just got it. And if you can get here within an hour, there may be one. And then I'd go to the shop and it was gone.
So how often would Lego do something like only ever release X number of sets, which makes it exclusive, as opposed to how often will they just almost mass produce, which means that you could go to your local, well, we would say like Toys R Us or whatever supermarket is out there, and you can get it. You know, how often would they release limited edition?
I've never seen Lego release a numbered set.
Right.
I have, however, seen Lego endorsed numbered sets.
Oh, okay.
So every now and then, maybe a company would partner with an official Lego master or Lego ambassador, somebody creative, to create just a limited set. There's one that I keep forgetting about, this one, but it is my holy grail. It's the Hilton Hotel in Paris. There was a limited run of that, and I wanted to get my hands on it, but it was only sold there in that
right.
hotel. That was
okay.
It.
Yeah.
So you had to go there to get it, somebody went there, bought a bunch, you know, marked them up, put them on eBay, and that's how you get your hands on it. But I never could get my hands on it. So there are limited sets like that. And as I mentioned before, every Lego set that comes out is essentially a limited set, because they're going to be on the shelf for 3-4 years and then be retired.
Right. Okay.
And I think it's a nice business proposition that Lego has come across, where every set is a collector's. They're sure to sell out because every set is a collector's item.
Yeah. So is there any, and again, excuse my ignorance, is there a set that they only ever made 10 and they went to the length and breadth of the world and there's only ever a limited number of these sets available?
Yeah, they do that every year. There are sets that are released just for Lego employees.
Oh, okay.
That's it. It's not it's not, you know, mass market. It's just Lego employees. Now, granted, they still leak out and some people get their hands on it.
Yeah.
You know, but those are sets that are so limited that, you know, I have a friend of mine who is an exclusive collector of just the employee sets. So he goes through heaven and hell to make sure he not an employee. Wow. You know, he's not an employee of Lego, but he's like, I want a complete collection of the employee sets. So he every year he goes out of his way to find one.
Wow. Imagine if this, if he ends up getting all of those employee sets, then he could sell them for a little pretty penny.
He could do very well with them. And you know, they every year it's something different. So one year was just like their 50th anniversary employee set and had, you know, tiny little builds in a bigger set. There was one year when it was a Star Wars X-Wing.
Nice.
You know, designed in red and white, like Father Christmas, and everybody wanted it. You know, and he still has one. He's like, yeah, I'm not giving this up.
Wow. Wow.
There is an easy way for him to do it. He could just get a job with Lego.
You could, right? A few years ago, one of my colleagues sent me a link. He's like, you have to see this. And it was a link. They were looking for a project manager at Lego. And I was like, oh, man.
Go for it, dude.
But I thought, man, that, like, because for a while, Lego's North American headquarters was in Connecticut, but it was like the northern tip of the state. And for me, that'd be an hour and a half one way commute every day to work.
Yeah.
No.
You must have been tempted. You must have been tempted.
I was tempted. I was really tempted. And I was like, I don't know if I want to spend 3 hours in my car every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think I can afford, you know, the cost of petrol to get up there and back every day.
That's fair enough, isn't it? So in terms of the sets that you built there, then, have you ever bought a Lego set and been disappointed with it once it's done?
Oh, I want to say no, because just the joy of the process is in itself, I guess, rewarding. But if there is one that I built it and I pray every day that it doesn't, you know, that didn't show in the video, but I'm about to reveal it. I think it was a double-decker bus.
Okay.
Yeah, I built it and I was like, oh, okay.
You got it.
Okay. And then there are other sets that I've built that I remember building the right up there, the ISS, the International Space Station. I was so excited because the day it was released, I went to the Lego store early in the morning and I bought it and I came home and I built it and I, you know, edited the video and I posted it that day. And I remember throughout the video, I kept screaming, this is so cool. My wife said, you have to go back and remove it. All the screams. I mean, it's just that goes. No. You have to go back and remove.
So if you get a new Lego set, how long between purchasing and completion? Like, do you have to go home and like build it right there and right then? Or is it something that you can think, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it, you know, is it like, oh my God, I won't do it?
It's about to embarrass myself with this one. There are some sets that come in and I'm like, I cannot wait to get this done. But then, you know, there's a reason why I have 43 boxes unopened, you know, all of which I want to build. It's a question of finding the time. And then to a certain extent, committing to put every build of mine on YouTube has actually taken away from the hobby. So now it's become work. So every time I'm going to build, set up and blah, 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 blah. So I really have to be conscientious about making time to build. And I think that's where I've let life get in the way to the point where I haven't, you know, my time between acquisition and build keeps increasing. It's
getting bigger and bigger. Yeah.
Now I've gotten to the point where I have sets that I wanted to build. I kept putting off and now they've retired, right?
So wow.
The corner garage was a great set. I wanted to build it Never got around to it. Now it's retired. Now it's worth double the price that I paid for it. So now I'm torn. Do I build it? Do I keep it? You know, like it's I don't know, but I am actually going to build. So I'm making you a promise.
Okay.
I'm putting a new video up this coming week.
Any hints to what it might be?
I would love to do this one, actually. My wife got me this.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, I would love to do that, but it's a question of whether or not, you know, I'll have time. 3,000 pieces. That'll take 4, maybe 5 hours
to get done.
So it's I'm gonna try.
Bam.
Might take days, but I'm gonna try. Yeah. And then I have Luke Skywalker's helmet that I really want to build. I actually got, I want to say Bricks Box. They make display cases.
Yeah.
So I got two of them, but they're based on your side of the world. So the shipping is just literally the shipping was £39. The display case was £35.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't, I pushed the order button by mistake. Honestly, I did. I filled everything in. I was mind, and then I hit the button and I was like, oh, well, I guess it was meant to be. So I reached out to the guy who, you know, runs that shop. And I said, wow, that was a painful buy, you know? And he was like, I tell you what, if you want to buy anything else, just let me know and I'll send you a code for free shipping.
Okay.
And then I'll put everything together and ship it together. I was like, dude, yeah, just for that. Thank you for being generous just for that, you know? So I ordered one. So I have two cases for, I ordered one for Luke Skywalker and I ordered one for Darth Vader. So I'll have those, you know, in a nice display.
Awesome. And do you ever add lights to your kits as well?
Analyze?
No, do you ever add lights, sorry, to the kits? You're the light kits you can add to your set.
I do have kits that are lit up mostly because the only kits that I really go out of my way to display are the Winter Village. I make sure that I get, you know, lights for them. And some of the light kits are very, very simple to put together. Others, you're just like, dude, you need an engineering degree to do it. You know, it's just, I reviewed two light kits, one for the Winter Village fire station and then another one for the Winter Village train set. The one for the train set, I really liked it. It looks great, but it wasn't designed for a motorized train, right? The way they designed the light set, you cannot have the train moving and lit up at the same time without doing some really intricate stuff to it. So I wasn't too much of a fan, but after I did the fire station, I realized, you know, rather than buying the light kit itself, I could just buy the lights individually and put them together.
Yeah.
My Winter Village is lit up, but it's just simple light bricks that I get, you know, with USB connections. And the next major light set I'm going to get is going to be for the Eiffel Tower because it sits so high. I had to remove a lamp from the basement to put it on the coffee table because the base is that big. So my wife said, well, you killed one lamp. You have to light that up so that it's actually like, yes, ma'am. So I'm actually going to get a light kit for that so I can turn it on, you know.
It is. I mean, that is a big set as well, isn't it? It goes really high. I must admit, I've looked at that one.
Yeah.
Is it that how big it is?
Yeah. 4'10". Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's about two foot square.
Wow.
On the base.
Yeah. It's a really, really impressive kit, though.
It's a huge set. Yeah.
It's one thing I've got to ask you before we let you go, because we're around about the hour mark now, is
okay.
The key thing for me. So I watch a lot of these videos online And the most interesting, well, not the most interesting, that's rude. But the thing that I found intriguing about yours is that knife that you used to open up the box. That's a serious piece of kit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an SOG seal pup, a gift from my older brother.
Wow, you can do some damage with that bad boy.
Right? He is a former U.S. Army. So when I told him I wanted I said, you know what? I want a cool knife. He's like, all right, okay, cool.
So, I can show you.
he sent me that. And I remember once he had received orders and he was going to be on deployment. So he was packing. And I happened to have this with me. I had paid him a visit and I had this in the car with me. And he's like, man, I can't find my knife. So I said, you know, I have my seal pup that you sent me. You could take that with you. And without even realizing he was quoting Crocodile Dundee, he said, that ain't a knife. and I was like, wait, what? He said, yeah, that ain't a knife. And then he pulls out the knife he was looking for, which was a much bigger, you know, deadlier looking knife. He said, this is a knife. And I literally fell on his bed. And I am cracking up. And he's like, what is so funny? I'm like, dude, you won't believe this. So I pulled it up on YouTube and I said, this is exactly what you just said. That ain't a knife. This is a knife.
Brilliant.
Oh, man, that is cool. That is cool. So, like I said, we normally keep these episodes to around about an hour. So, yeah. Chuck us out there just quickly. Any sets that are coming out there soon, you are absolutely have to buy, or one that they haven't made yet that you think they absolutely should, other than the Enterprise.
Well, yeah, I wish Lego has this thing about military sets and not even a thing against military sets and religious sets. But I really wish they had done Notre Dame Cathedral as a just a one-time fundraiser. I think it would have been a great, you know, contribution to a major landmark. I wish they had done that. That would have been a really cool set to have. The set that's coming out that I really have my heart set on, my primary collection is the architecture sets. And rumor has it, it's the, God, I hope I can pronounce this properly, the Himeji Castle in Japan is the next architecture set. That's a must have. I don't know what the next skyline is going to be, but that's because architecture series is my primary collection. That's also a must have. But I'm also looking forward to the next Disney castle. I'm hoping it's different in some way. I just hope it's not the exact same thing. That'd be a bit boring.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping it's slightly different.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. So we're going to wrap it up now. Before we go though, dude, do you want to give a shout out to where people can find you on YouTube? Tell them about the name.
I am on YouTube as Afol Cyril, AFOLCYRIL. So find me, do subscribe. I always appreciate subscribers. And I make it a point when somebody makes a comment, I actually reply to the comment. I reply to every single comment. And I can say that now because I don't have too many subscribers.
Well, that's not true, dude. You do okay.
Right. So once I get into the high number of subscribers and everybody's commenting, then I'm going to be in trouble. But for now, I promise, if you comment, I will reply to the comment. And people do ask questions on there and I do answer to the best of my knowledge. I'm also on Instagram as Afol Cyril. So you can find me on Instagram as that. I'm not on Instagram that often. But, you know, yeah, find me. I'm there. And if you pose a question, I will do the best I can to answer it.
And I will say that. He definitely answers his questions on YouTube because he wouldn't be here tonight if we hadn't done. That's where we contacted you and asked you to come on.
Yeah.
True story. So then, Cyril, did you want to say your goodbyes to our listeners?
You know, it wasn't until yesterday that I got on your YouTube site and actually, you know, sifted through some of the topics. Wow, you guys cover a wide range. It's It's really engaging. It's a lot of fun. And as you always said, you know, at the start of your show, you never know where it's going to go. So there's always that, you know, you start on one topic and I'm like, man, I'm engaged because now I want to know where the twists and turns are going to be. And I really like it. You just found yourself a subscriber. I will keep listening because this is really interesting. And if anytime you want me back, I will come back. We'll talk more Lego or other things that I'm interested in.
Wow. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But you've got us intrigued there. So definitely we'll be more than happy to have you back just to find out what other kind of stuff you're interested in.
Yeah. Finally learning about how money works and made a mistake of getting myself into roses.
Cool. There's a future episode he's pitching there.
Yeah.
Gazza?
Yeah, you know, I love having episodes where we have guests. It's fantastic to sort of chat to Cyril, get to know him a little bit. I'd love to have him back on, you know, in however many sort of weeks in time, just to see whether or not he's able to sort of talk us through a little bit about his wish list and whether he's been able to sort of fulfill his wish list as such. But yeah, absolutely fantastic guest. Love having me on, and let's look forward to next time.
All right. Indeed. Thank you so much. It's been a blast. This is a lot of fun. And I noticed you both had your beers, and next time I will have my beer with me.
Oh, good man. Good man. Yeah.
Cheers.
We do always have a beer. And for those who keep in track, this is my 217th different beer that I've drank on this podcast.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, I have a friend who's also a huge Lego collector, and he's been on my channel a few times. His thing is tasting and reviewing root beer because he doesn't drink alcohol.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But he will source root beer from all over the country, taste and review it.
Okay.
I will tell my wife, because my wife is a huge fan of root beer. True story. She absolutely. Yeah. We're in the States this summer, and she is so excited about trying proper root beer again.
Yeah. Jukebox is his nickname, but he loves root beer.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. And I'll tell you what goes well with root beer as well, and that's our sponsors. So Ollie's Snacks. So if you want your olives, your nuts, your pretzels, or your chocolate-covered pretzels, head over to ollies-ollies.com. And with the promo code TALLBOYRADIO, all capitals, all one word, you can get 20% off your order as long as you're based in the UK. And with every order placed on their website, they donate a school meal to a child in need with the help of One Feeds Two. So that just leaves it to me to say thank you, Cyril, for joining us. We've loved this episode. And yes, we will be doing another one just to find out what other kind of stuff that you are into and just to see what kind of beer you're into as well, dude. So that leaves it for me to say thank you and good night.
You are most welcome. Thanks. Cheers, guys.